Welcome back, Roll Route, Trent Lewis, Jay Truitt. Jay, we're not going to get hung up on this, but I need to respond. During the break, I knew there'd be some Bucky's comments. Karen let us know that there's one planned on the west side of Omaha. And Rhonda, no, I'm a big fan.
Omaha?
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska, you know where that
so
is.
So you get a Bucky's. You'll have your very own.
Yeah, maybe 200 miles away.
200 miles deep.
And Rhonda, I'm a fan of Quick Start or Quick Trip, and Bucky's is like 10 times of what that is. So
yeah.
And Walter, you need to get out more. Okay.
Yeah.
Amarillo.
That's almost always the case, though. Walter needs a road trip. Well, I think you need to come to Nebraska. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe come out and buy me a cup of coffee, or I'll buy him a cup of coffee some morning. That'd be a good trip for him.
I'm going to need a rooster for my hands here pretty quick, so that'll be a good reason for him to come.
Well.
So, Amarillo. Is there a new beef plant going on?
So there was a proposal that was put down about a year ago, and there is a permit for a new plant there. I think a $250 million facility that was supposed to be constructed. But I'm not aware of the actual ownership there. Cavanaugh's Beef did a big change like back in 22 on a facility, but I mean, the most recent real news, honestly, in Amarillo is that Tyson cut a shift out, you know, but that's been a while.
That was a thousand head a day, right? Went from 6 to 5.
Heck, that was even a long time ago, though, when that happened, right?
January.
Basically, yeah, when...
It was the same day as Lexington closed.
Same day as Lexington was announced. So that's not something that's really been a... The market's a long time adjusted to that.
Right.
But no, there was a producer group that was trying to pull an effort together. And I honestly just don't know where they're at. I haven't heard Boo Sikkim from that group for a while. They may be really close to getting their stuff together, but I'm not aware of that.
Well, you know, everybody spends a tremendous amount of time talking about the Packer monopoly, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that's not a good topic, but let's just take sustainable beef at North Platte. There's a couple producers get an idea to have a producer owned plant and want to kick in some money and make it happen. And they get halfway there and they're like, well, we don't have enough to finish this. We can't do it. So then they turn to Walmart to finish the deal. So you ultimately get back into monopoly as a partner that you started with. And don't tell me that Walmart, who doesn't have a packing plant other than sustainable beef, isn't part of the big four because they control everything. But then the whole concept of getting enough equity put into a plant owned by producers, because we always try to build it too big. Build something that's more regional and more niche and people can really tie onto, and then you can make it work.
Yeah, I understand the concepts behind all the different options. I will say this. For a fair amount of my life, I almost made a career out of evaluating pro formas and business model plans to give people advice about processing facilities. So I've seen all the different options. There are some basic economies of scale that really matter. And it's not about the beef. It's about everything else in the plant. Having a capacity that allows you to deal in truckload lots of offal and rendering capacity and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I promise you is you can almost look at people's track records and you will see that those Being able to manage that, you don't, it doesn't always have to be that way, but having a market for every single one of those products in what is commercially viable sizes so that you can get it priced appropriately, will be a determining factor in whether or not you're going to be there 3 years after you open.
And to your point, roughly $150 from the offal slash hide that the large plants get that your local butcher shop puts in the dump.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. And it is the difference. And so that $150 is not even just all there. That's not all gravy. You don't get $150. It takes money to process and run and modify that and to sell it. And then you got to carry the money, blah, blah, blah. But for sure, not getting anything for it is a death knell. And one of the things that nobody really wants to talk about, including at USDA, is that there may be more actual true blue margin in offal rendering offtake products that involve, like, shanks and random cuts in today's world. There may be better margin in that than there is even in, like, ribeyes. And people go, like, well, how can that be? Why do ribeyes cost $25? Well, they cost $25 or $9, whatever they cost, because that's what they cost. And that is what the market is for that particular day. But I will tell you that if you look at these numbers hard enough and long enough, and really, like, pay attention on a day-to-day basis, what you just talked about is why we are where we are. We have a big four because in order to meet the demands in the pet food market, in the offal trade, in rendering, in
And cosmetics, ladies' cosmetics. Let's not leave that one
collagen
out.
for cosmetics, right? All of that gets done in 40,000 pound lot loads. And you just can't meet that. You can't ever get to that without having your product spoiled or ruined if you're operating a plant that has 70, 100, 200, or even it really, it's somewhere north of 300 head a day capacity to really make those numbers work out, honestly.
Yeah, and I've often thought that there should be a place that we could go take that offal off the
Right.
hands of these local butcher shops and add value and make it work. But
No, I
it's
spent
too.
some, well, yeah, to that point, I spent some time working with the state rural development staff about exactly doing that. I think it's maybe possible to do some co-mingling of that for rendering and some other things. There's a shortage of rendering access in the country anyway, right? And it's a
Yeah,
nasty
why is
business.
that? Because it's such a vital component.
Well, it's number one, trying to get permitted today to do things in some places is really difficult. And you do need to render, you do need, like, full on access to natural gas and electricity and truck routes, et cetera. It is one of those that you can't just put that building out in the middle of nowhere. It needs to be pretty close to something. But no, it's more concentrated than the packing industry. The rendering
Yeah.
industry is more, way more
Oh,
concentrated.
yeah. I think 20 years ago, I spoke for the first time for the National Renders Association. I've spoke for them 3 times, and it's been now 10 years since I've done that. But each year you go back, the number of people involved, I mean, the consolidation is incredible.
Yeah,
And that was
in that
government driven,
industry,
by the way.
one entity owns about 80%. It's not four own 80%.
Yeah,
One.
and you are the darling of this particular event here today, Jay, so we'll just
Thank
let
you.
you stick with that
You
little thought.
betcha.
We're back with the second half of Roll Route after this.
You're clear.
95% of the people have no idea what I just did.
I know, but that was perfect.
Nitric oxide holds the key to cardiovascular health, ultimately to human health. Get more details about the nitric oxide essentialness on the website, N101.com. That's N101.com. TL10 is your coupon code. More details about the most tender beef you can find on the planet, and that is at cpbeef.com for certified Piedmontese, cpbeef.com. Also, goodlifene.com. There's a difference, and they're all certified Piedmontese steaks, all grown by cattlemen in the Great Plains of America, and all tender. And you may not appreciate. I was one of those. I did not appreciate the tenderness advantage until I had the first cpbeef.com steak. It made a believer out of me, and now I do taste test all the time, and people are like, hey, I'll take some more of that. cpbeef.com, certified Piedmontese.